This podcast is presented to you by Pastor Bill Shear and Gutch Church in Tulsa, Oklahoma. For more information, please visit gutchchurch.com.
My name is Jeremy. All my friends call me Dubs. Everybody say, what's up, Dubs? In Spanish, that would be hola, Dubs. No, I'm glad to be here. I really am. I'm thrilled to be here. I don't have to say it, but I'm going to say it because you need to hear it again. And what a privilege and an honor it is to be in this pulpit. It is not something I take lightly. Pastor Bill is obviously not with us today, but I'm sure he is watching somewhere. And speaking of that, can we welcome everybody that is watching online? Because I know there are a lot of people watching online. Thank you guys so much for joining us. And then I would be remiss if we didn't welcome our other campus in Skytook. Can we welcome the people in Skytook? Go ahead. Absolutely. There are a lot of people that watch online, and I'm sure Pastor Bill is today and joining us and being a part of service. But it just is a privilege and an absolute honor. I'm humbled to be here. I've said it before that I remember the first opportunity I ever had to be here was on a Wednesday night, and I couldn't believe that Pastor Bill trusts me to do this. I remember thinking, here are all these people that are coming in here, and they're looking for something from God. You're looking for a good word. You're looking to grow in God. And I remember the responsibility that came with that to give you something, to share something. I thought, boy, I can't believe he trust me to do that. And then I quickly was reminded that I can't believe God trusts me to do that. It's a very humbling feeling, and I'm privileged to be here with you. And I trust that God is going to do a great work in your life this morning. If you have hearts ready to receive and ears to hear, I know that God has put a good word in my heart to share with you. And so I just want to give a big thanks to Pastor and Pastor Sandy. How many of you guys love your pastors? Anybody? I'm telling you, 5,000 plus salvations this month, and this is the 21st year of doing that. That takes a lot of endurance, a lot of faithfulness, a lot of hard work, a lot of blood, sweat, and tears, and they have pioneered that process. Motorcycle rallies, Friday groceries, this church, 3 services this morning. I mean, I'm just telling you that it takes a lot of effort and a lot of energy, and I'm very thankful for them just staying the course, being an example, and imparting into my life. Truthfully, everything I have in my life has come through this church, and so when I say I'm appreciative of them, I'm sincerely appreciative of them, because if they had not stayed the course and have not created this environment for us to be here this morning, to be dancing, to be celebrating, to be laughing, I wouldn't have the woman I have next to me. I wouldn't have the little 2-year-old I have. I wouldn't have these friends that are in my life. I wouldn't have the leadership that has impacted my life. I wouldn't have the home I live in. I wouldn't have the hobbies I have. Truthfully, everything that I have has come by being planted in this house. So when you hear that whatever's in your heart can happen through the local church, I'm just telling you, that's a true statement. It can happen through the local church. And it starts by being planted in this house, by being consistent, by being faithful, by showing up every time the doors are open. Every time you're in here, you make connections with new people. You hear the word of God. You're challenged to grow, and you are refined, and you are transformed, and you are changed, and you start lining up a little bit more and a little bit more and a little bit more, conforming to the nature and the character of God, which is the ultimate goal. You have a new heart on the inside of you, and every time you're here, you get a little bit stronger, a little bit better, a little bit closer, more in line with who God is in your life, and being in that right line with him, and you can live the fullness that God has for you. That's what it says in Romans 12, that the transformation happens as we begin to renew our mind, that we may prove, that we may exhibit, may example God's good, perfect, and pleasing will. So just let's continue to do that. Let's be a group of people that impact the community the way we impact the community. And that takes us growing as individuals and corporately and continuing to impact lives. You guys cool with that? You guys like impacting lives? And how many of you guys have been impacted by this church, huh? Come on, I'm telling you, we're helping folks. You've been helped, now you're here, and we continue to help more people. So I want to share 4 points with you this morning, 4 points that really reflect a mindset. When I talk about renewing your mind, it is how we think. And I want to touch on 4 points that will affect how we think, the way that our filter should go. You see, everybody in here has a mindset. Your mind is set a certain direction. So when life happens to you, it goes through this filter of how you see life and how your stance is in life, and your stance inside of a circumstance or situation you find yourself in, it goes through this filter of how you see life, of what your mindset is. And so today I want to give you 4 points that really should be your mindset. It should be how we see things. It is our perspective. It is our stance of where we're at in life. And we're going to look at 2 very credible sources. I'm going to look at a couple of verses. One is from Peter and one is from Paul. Peter walked with Jesus for 3 years. He saw some of the most unbelievable things. His first message that he ever preached, 3,000 people got saved. He was so committed to helping establish the church and so submitted to the lordship of Jesus in his life and making Jesus that position that when it came time, he not only gave his life for the ministry, not only gave his life unto sacrifice, unto death for the sake of the gospel, but he did not even want to be crucified the way his Savior was and was willing to be crucified upside down. Paul endured shipwrecks, endured beatings. He was stoned and left for dead. He was beaten and left for dead. He was whipped and flogged. He was in prisons. So many things that were unfair happened to him, and yet he stayed the course. These two men are very credible sources. And so when we look at these verses, I want you to understand the credibility that when they're saying them of where it's coming from and that these gentlemen are writing these statements. We begin in 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 3, and I like to read from the New Living. Most of you have New King James, so we'll get on the same page as we go through. 1 Peter 1, 3, it just simply says, all praise to God. All. Everybody just say all. All. All praise to God. We don't get to keep any praise for ourselves. We don't get to give any praise to one another. We don't boast in those things. We boast and give all praise to God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. It is by his great mercy that we have been born again because God raised Jesus from the dead. Just marinating that for a second. It is by his great mercy, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. It is by his mercy that is new every day. His mercies are new every day. That's not getting what you deserve. Because of his mercy on our life, he gave his own son. And by the death of Jesus Christ, we are now born again or could be in right standing with God. So with that in mind, it says, so now we live with great expectation. And that is simply our first point this morning. To live a life, to think, to have a mindset of expectation. To have an expectation that God is going to prevail in your life. In Hebrews chapter 6, it speaks about Abraham, and the Bible says that God took an oath to keep his promise for Abraham. See, his promise was sufficient enough, but the Bible says when you take an oath to a higher power. He took an oath in his own name because there is nobody higher than God. He took an oath to back up his promise that he would deliver for Abraham. And the Bible says that hope that we have in him, that expectation, that confident expectation, that hope that will prevail in our life, that confident expectation anchors our soul. So when the circumstances start to squeeze in, when you're pressed from every side, we don't receive pressure in our heart. We receive pressure on the outside and we're pressed from every side, but we don't lose hope. And my soul, which is my mind and my will and my emotions, they don't go haywire. I don't jump ship and run off. My thoughts, crazy thoughts have ever come in. They'll come in all the time. But the Bible says I capture those thoughts and I bring them into the obedience of Christ. That's a discipline that I have to execute to capture that thought and say, whoa, 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 whoa. That doesn't line up with the Word of God. My emotions can get raised. Okay, we can be emotional people, and God gave you emotions to use emotions. But a lot of times when circumstances hit, well, the emotions elevate. And sometimes our emotions get in the way and we don't think clearly or we'll react emotionally. We'll get emotional and just go respond. That's not where we want to live. Or our will, which is our decision-making process. The emotions get real, the circumstances squeeze, and we'll go and make a quick decision. But the Bible says because of our hope in him, that he will prevail, that his character is intact, that he is not forsaken us, his hand is on our life, that hope in him and his character and his integrity, that he's going to come through on our behalf, it anchors my soul. It keeps my thoughts from wandering way off into sea. It keeps my emotions from getting out of control. It keeps me from making crazy decisions quickly and abruptly because my confidence is in him. My expectation is that God will prevail every time. When we came into Nightmare this month, we came in with a mindset that we own October. We don't come into October thinking, oh man, whew, I hope it goes well. Man, I hope people show up. Man, I hope people come through and get their life right with God. I hope there's no real drama. I hope that we have enough money for it. No. We come in owning it. We come in saying, I'm going to be a part of it. We're confident with an expectation that people are going to go through, that people are going to get saved. People lay down their lives for months in advance, building that set out. People lay down their lives the entire month, showing up. We had people here till 1:30 in the morning last night, and they're here at church this morning. Why? Because they're committed, because they have a mindset of we're going to make a difference. I have an expectation that lives will be changed, that stories will be rewritten in people's lives. Every person that signed a card, their story just begins to be rewritten in that moment. We change people's future. People's what's in front of people has been changed. Chris was telling a story this morning of a young man that came through. He looked like a pretty tough guy, maybe been hunting that day, whatever it was. Looked Chris right in the eye just for that split second, and then he began to break. And he began to cry, and he began to be emotional. And he said, when I was 6 years old, I knew that Jesus was real, and I loved God with all my heart. And the last few years have been miserable because I've gotten away from it. And when he saw Jesus on the cross and when he went through all the rooms, he said, I felt like I was in all those rooms. I could relate to those characters. I felt like that person that was getting beat up in the party room and behaving like that. And then I saw Jesus, and he got his life right with God. He got refreshed. An impact was made in his life. And that was our expectation going into it. That's why we gave money. That's why we gave time. That's why we gave resources, because we knew that would happen. We have an expectation in our life. We have an expectation when circumstances get difficult that God will show up and God will prevail. I cannot lose. God causes everything to work together for my good. His thoughts for me are good and not evil. Every good and perfect gift is from above. God is good. God never leaves me. God never forsakes me. I have this in my arsenal. I know this. So my expectation is that God will prevail. And what happens is, in a circumstance when things aren't going the way you want them to go, we start going, man, God's left me. God's not here. And you may not even be saying that. You may not even be thinking that. Let me ask you, does he ever leave us or forsake us? No. So all of a sudden there's this squeeze in life and we think that God has abandoned us. Is he aware of where you're at? Yes. Will he cause everything to work together for your good? Yes. Do I understand it all? Probably not. God is infinitely wise. He's so much greater than you are. It's like my little 2-year-old doesn't know what I know as a 36-year-old. She can't. And there are things that I have to impart in her and help her learn and understand, and she just can't know the answer. Chanel's daughter doesn't understand that he can't give this lady his bank card. She doesn't get it. There are things that we don't understand. There's things we don't know, but here's what I do know. God's character is intact. God's ability is bigger. Nothing is impossible with God. I don't have to be afraid because of who God is. So I can live with an expectation of winning in my life. God didn't send Jesus so that you could have good, clean fun. God dipped in his own pocket, and Jesus humbled himself to the point of death on a cross as a criminal, ignoring the shame that went with it. Why? So that you could live a life of abundance, so that you could have an expectation, so that every morning you can get up, you can look for things to work together for your good, so that when life does throw you a curveball, you don't have to freak out and run over here in fear or be afraid or be ashamed, but you can stand there and endure it and go through it, just like David passed through the valley of the shadow of doubt, just like death. Just like in Isaiah, it says we go through fire and we go through water, but we're not burned and we're not drowned. We don't drown. You can't lose. You expect to win and to prevail. David expected to beat Goliath. David ran at Goliath. He expected to win. He had done it before. He expected to win. Abraham was asked to go up the mountain with his son to offer his son, but he expected God to provide. It was very uncomfortable. Do you understand the emotions for David were real? That there had to be this element of thinking, man, that's a 9-foot dude. That's a big spear he's carrying. And he said, well, I'm going to cut your head off today. That was his mindset. He expected to win. Abraham expected to win. Joshua expected to conquer Jericho. 2 Corinthians chapter 5. Let's look at what Paul says. He says in verse 6, beginning in verse 6, he says, we are always confident. And that's simply our second point. Confidence. We are confident. We are sure. We can always be confident. We don't have to question or wonder or have doubt. We can be confident in who God is. We can be confident and have a confidence. That's not an arrogance. That's not a pride. It's simply that I'm sure. I'm confident that God will prevail. I'm confident about my life. I'm confident of where we're going. That, and this is what he said. He said, even though we know that as long as we live in these bodies, we are not at home with the Lord, we're confident. Now listen, here's Paul. He's writing about new bodies that we're going to have. And he's saying, even though we're going to have new bodies, I'm confident that we're going to have new bodies. I'm confident in the hope that's out there. Now listen, I've never seen God. I've never seen heaven. And yet here we are. We're here because of this hope that we're going to have new bodies and we're going to live in heaven and we're going to have eternity with God. And he's confident in that. He's most assured that that will happen. We sang a song tonight, or this morning, I'm sorry, that says, I will remain confident that I will see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. I set my hope on you, Lord. My set my hope. I will remain confident. I want you to hear the word remain confident, because sometimes we'll leave here, we'll be so fired up, we'll hear the word, we'll be moved with emotion, we'll be worshiping God, and our confidence will be up, and we'll get out of here, and by the time lunch is over, our confidence can go down. We get up tomorrow morning, we're going to work, and our confidence can be shot. I want to remain confident. I will remain confident. Do you understand that when David wrote this, he's hiding in caves. He's anointed to be the next king of Israel. That's pretty awesome. He's got an excitement about his future. There's lots to look forward to in his life. But in the moment, the brother is hiding for his life. The king who is currently in position has an entire army looking for him. And he's hiding in caves. And he says, I will remain confident. He understood the promise that was put on his life. I will set my hope on you. Colossians 3 says, I set my mind on things above. How is your mind set? Sometimes you have to reset your mind. You have to start over and go, wait a minute. I set my eyes on you, Jesus. I set my mind on winning. I have a set mind. I set my hope on you. I don't hope in my job. I don't hope in my spouse. I don't hope in my friends. I don't hope in whatever it is. I don't hope in the economy. I don't hope in anything else. My hope is in God, and it's set there. Because why? I have an expectation. He will prevail. He will come through. For we live by believing. We live by faith and not by sight. Our third point is this very simple. I trust God. I trust God. Listen to the definition for trust. It says a reliance on the integrity, strength, ability, surety of a person or a thing. A reliance. I rely on the integrity, strength, and ability, the surety of a thing or a person. That's how I can trust God. I rely on God's integrity because of who God is. The Bible says that God is not a man that he should lie. He doesn't wake up and it's not a new day for him today. God doesn't wake up today and something dawns on him today. Nothing is going to occur to him today. He is fully aware of everything from the beginning to the end. He knows everything. We can rely on his ability. He is omnipresent. He is omnipowerful. He has all power. He created the universe, the galaxies. He spoke them into existence. I don't have to worry if he's capable. I don't have to worry or be concerned about his commitment to me. Paul said this. He said, I'm persuaded that nothing can separate me from God's love. He was persuaded. He was confident. He was expectant of God's love in his life. He was persuaded that nothing could separate him from God's love. No circumstances, no difficulty, no perilous times, no angels, no demons, no life, no nothing can separate me from God's love. I'm persuaded of that. I can rely on his integrity, his character, his ability, his surety. If he said it, he will back it up. He's no respecter of persons. If he did it for one, he'll do it for another. If he did it 100 years ago, he'll do it today. He is the same yesterday, today, and forever. And I can be confident and get rooted and planted in knowing who God is in my life. Psalm 27, based from the song that we sang this morning. Though a mighty army surrounds me, my heart will not be afraid. My heart will not grow faint. When Joshua took over to invade the promised land, the couple spies went in there, and the lady that hosted those spies, she said, listen, there's rumors going around that you guys are coming, and their hearts have grown faint. Let me help you something. When your heart grows faint, guess what's happened? You've already lost. Your confidence is shaken. It's already over. how many people in sports have gone into a game. Maybe you found yourself, you're going into a game and you know who you're playing, and it's like, yeah, we don't stand a chance. You've already lost. And you know what? On paper, it may not make sense. On paper, you probably are supposed to lose. On paper, you don't have the matchups you need. On paper, they got a bigger depth chart. On paper, you're facing opposition that's twice your size with more power than you have. But I don't live by what the facts say. If I live by what the facts say, I sure as heck wouldn't be up here with you today. There are people in this room that are a lot more intelligent than I am. There are people in this room that have very cool giftings and very cool skill sets. There are people in this room who have achieved more than I've achieved to this day. It doesn't make sense. That's why I'm very humbled and grateful to be here, because I understand that God has put me in this position and I'm privileged and trusted with it to deliver it to you. And I'm telling you that it has nothing to do with what the facts say. It has nothing to do with growing up in a single parent home. It has nothing to do with all the mistakes that I've made by barely graduating high school. And all those facts matter, because God redeems us. He puts us back in right standing, and those giftings he's given you are without reproach. He never takes those giftings from you. God wants to use those giftings. He wants to get your feet on a sure foundation so he can use you. Because you fulfill something that nobody else can fulfill. He's set you apart. He knows the number of hairs on your head. He knew you in your mother's womb. He predestined you. He knows the giftings that he's put in you. He knows the plans that he has for you, and they're not changing. That was to be in right standing with him so that you could do the great things that he's got for you. He wants to do a good work in your life and through your life and among you and around you. You're a part of 5,000 salvations in 1 month. And some of you have different giftings. Some of you are much more handy. I am not handy. I am not valuable in September building the set for Nightmare. I am not. I am a safety hazard. I am a risk. I have to sign 2 waivers, okay? It's just, I'm not good at that. I can run a broom pretty good. Even that, I've tripped and fallen a couple times. It's just not, I'm not handy. But I can talk. I can entertain you while you build stuff. I'll tell you a joke, but we have different giftings, we have different skill sets, and all of us together have made it happen. All of us together have a part in 5,000 salvations because we used that. In Psalm 57, it says, my heart is confident. My heart is confident. My heart is confident in you, O God. My heart is confident. No wonder I can sing your praises. Man, when life comes, it gets hard, it gets difficult, it tries to squeeze you out. And you can be rejoicing. Paul and Silas in the bowels of prison begin to rejoice. Pastor Bill taught a message Wednesday night, and he just made the point, and I heard it, and I thought, yeah, their motive for worshiping was not to see the result that happened. They didn't start worshiping God so that the doors would crack open, that there would be an earthquake. That's not why they began to pray. They began to pray and praise God and worship God because their heart was full, and they loved God. And they begin to worship in the deepest, nastiest, rankiest spot in the world. And put there unfairly, they begin to celebrate and worship and praise God for who God is. The Bible says to encourage yourself in the Lord. How can I encourage myself in the Lord? I'm not going around patting myself on the back. I find encouragement. I find courage in knowing who the Lord is. I encourage myself in knowing who the Lord is. They encourage themselves in the Lord as they begin to praise and worship God because their hearts were confident in him. Even though they were facing such a difficult circumstance, they would worship and celebrate and praise God, and he worked on their behalf. My heart is confident. No wonder I can sing your praises. Psalm 112, happy are those whose God is the Lord. They do not fear bad news. They confidently trust the Lord to care for them. They are confident and fearless and can face their foes triumphantly. Can face their foes triumphantly. He always leads us in triumph. He's leading you in triumph. You're going to face foes. It doesn't say you'll never have a foe. It says you will face your foes triumphantly. You don't have to have fear. Happy are those whose God is the Lord. Because he's your God, because of the expectation, because of his character, his promises, who he is, I have expectations, I have confidence, and I don't have fear, because fear will affect your confidence. As soon as that fear starts to slip in there, your confidence is shaken. And when your confidence is shaken and it gets into your heart, you've already lost. The opposite of faith is simply fear. I trust God with my life. I can't explain it all to you. I can't understand why certain things happened and didn't happen, but I trust God with my life, the fullness of my life. I trust him with it. And I'm learning to be a good steward, and I'm learning to improve, and I'm always getting better because God is faithful to us. Don't you understand that in Timothy it says this? It says that when we were faithless, he remained faithful. He cared enough about that kid that came through the nightmare that broke down in tears to get him to that place so somebody could encourage him and get him back on track. He faithfully pursued that young man from the point he was 6 years old to get him back in that tent so that he could do what God has for him. Some of you are in here today, and I don't know what it took to get to this point. I don't know what dumb decisions you've made or what you've done, but I'm just telling you that you're here today, and God's got a future and a hope and a plan for your life, and we can be confident and have an expectation that God's going to prevail. We can trust him with our life because he's been faithful to get you to today. He brought you in here this morning so that you could be refreshed, so that you could be revived, so that you could be encouraged, so that you could learn and be refined and grow more into the purpose that God has for you in your life. This is an amazing church. You're amazing people. We learn about amazing people in the Bible. We look at their lives and we look at their stories, but they're all around us in this room. My friend Joel, I remember when he walked in here and didn't have a driver's license. He was a mess. And today, he owns his own company. He's paid off his houses, and he's trusted with leadership, senior leadership in this house, and he's at the nightmare serving and doing great things. You begin to hear people's stories. I look at Harold, who's now passionate about the ministry tent, him and his wife, and they do great things, and I know his story. I know where he came from. I know what his background was, and now God's using the gifting that's in his life. Why? Because he just kept showing up and kept showing up and kept showing up. He went through our internship. He went through our program. He's been in the second mile. He's done it. I look at somebody like Travis Peters, who's just serving God, doing great things for God. He's at the nightmare. He's encouraging kids. He's one of the most dynamic youth leaders that they have in the JV, and God's doing abundant things in his finances and using him to influence people and teach people about finances and to grow businesses. God keeps doing things and keeps doing things in people's life, but you know what it is? They keep showing up. And the giftings are discovered in them. They keep showing up. They keep happening. God has surrounded us with amazing people, and we gain strength from each of those folks around us. Let me go back to 2 Corinthians 5. For we live by believing and not by seeing. Yes, we are fully confident, well pleased rather, to be away from these earthly bodies, for then we will be at home with the Lord. The idea of being away from these earthly bodies and being with the Lord is an exciting thought. See, we've never known life without the fear of hesitation. We've never known life without the effects of sin. And it's hard for us to even imagine what life is like without that. But here's what Paul's saying. The idea of death doesn't scare him. As a matter of fact, I'm well pleased. I'm fulfilled. I'm satisfied knowing that. Let me ask you something. When does eternal life begin? Does it begin when you die? Absolutely not, because you don't have to die because you've been born again, never to death again. That eternal life, that Zoe life, that abundant life now lives and resides on the inside of your heart. It's already begun. You're already in right standing with God. You don't fear dying. You don't fear being away. And as a matter of fact, I'm well pleased today. I'm at peace in my heart. I'm well pleased and satisfied because I'm serving God. Here's Paul, who already, we talked about the extent of his life and the extreme measures that he lived in his life. But now listen, he's saying, I'm well pleased. I'm at peace. I'm satisfied. I'm fulfilled. Not just about going to heaven. That's pretty awesome that he already had that mindset, but he's well pleased today in the bowels of prison. He's still well pleased. He's still fulfilled. He's still satisfied. Why? Because there's no greater fulfillment than living the cause of Christ. There's nothing else that's more satisfying. It is better to give than it is to receive. It is more fulfilling. It is more rewarding to feed 1,300 families in 2 weeks at Friday Groceries. It is rewarding to see 5,300 plus people give their life to Jesus. It is rewarding to see families restored inside this house. I see Mark Jackson here, who serves at the Nightmare and on security team, and I've watched him come from drug addiction and watched God do work in his family, restore his children that were separated from him, and now he's part of his grandchildren's life, and God's brought them together doing a great work in their life. God is redeeming our lives, and we can trust him with it. There's no greater fulfillment than giving your life for the cause of Christ, using your giftings, using what God's put in you. Every one of you are unique and individual. You do have your own fingerprint. You do have your own specific future that God's called you to. And when we begin to get planted, when we begin to plug in, when we begin to commit to showing up and being here, man, God continues to do work in our life and discover that gifting and fulfill the call that God has on our life. You look at people like Paul and Peter, but even Stephen. Stephen lived for the cause of Christ to the point of death, right? I'm not saying that we have to give our life in that regard. I'm just saying let's live our life like Stephen did. Let's live our life like Paul did. Let's live our life like Peter did. What about John? He died. He didn't even die. He lived but was put on an island by himself where he ended up writing most of the biblical the books that we have in the New Testament John wrote while he was in captivity on an island where he lived the last few days of his life. We are pleased and fulfilled. And I finish and I close with this. In Haggai chapter 1, the Israelite people had been in bondage. They'd been in slavery. They'd been in exile. Not where they were intended to be. Not the promised land God had for them. They had thrown away their promised land. They had ruined their promised land. And they were now in exile because of their rebellion, because of their bad mistakes, because of their selfishness. And then they come back home. They were allowed to come back home. God brought them home. In fact, it's one of the verses that we know in Jeremiah 29:11. It says, because I know the plans I have for you. Verse 10 says, you're going to be in exile for 70 years, but I'm going to bring you home because I know the plans I have for you. He knew they were going to make mistakes. He knew they were going to rebel. He sent prophets to warn them. He sent people to help them, and they ignored it, and they went into exile for 70 years because of their disobedience. But he said, but in spite of your disobedience, in spite of your shortcomings, in spite of your failure, I'm going to bring you home because I know the plans that I have for you. And when they got home, they began to rebuild their land. And they began to rebuild what was destructed and what was torn down. But listen, they began to build their homes. And they began to get their stuff back in order. And it says, in Haggai chapter 1, it says, you feel unsatisfied. You feel like you have holes in your pockets and the money keeps going through. You eat, you have food to eat, but you're not satisfied. You're doing all these things and nothing is fulfilling your life. And here's why, because you're building your house while my house lies in ruins. You've put your house in priority over my house. You've been thinking about building your future and your success and forgotten about being significant for my cause. And he said, get my house in order. Put a premium on my house. Commit the first 10% of your finances. Commit weekends in October. Commit to being here on Sundays. Commit to being here on Wednesdays. Commit to changing diapers. Commit to investing in youth kids. Commit to taking Second Mile. Commit to the internship program. Commit to being into these things. Commit to growing in God. Put a premium on my house first, and I'll build your house. I'll take care of your house. You get things in order here, the land will be fine. I gave you the land to begin with. I gave you the homes to begin with. This is all that you're building here. I gave it to you. Remember that.
Hey, thanks for listening to the Guts Church podcast. For more information on our service times, please visit gutschurch.com.